You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. It's Nissan's Winter Warrior event. Lease or finance from 0% or get up to $6,000 in standard rate finance cash on select models. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Final hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app and now up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. So I took the red eye home last night back in Toronto. It was one of those rare experiences where I've spoken with many athletes before, including you guys. You guys both played in warm climates and cold climates.
Yeah.
You played in Calgary, you played in Minnesota.
Florida.
You played in Florida, you played in Carolina, you played in Toronto. Now, it wasn't like really that warm in San Francisco, but it was 10, 12 degrees, palm trees, you know.
Right.
To get off the plane this morning, minus 20 outside.
Gross.
And flying in, and it's just a tundra. It's snow everywhere. Like, I can understand why athletes are like, you know, and I love, I'm from Toronto. Like, I don't have to explain my love for the city. This is, I'm not saying I want to stay in San Francisco, but man, you notice it when you land and you're like, wait a minute, there's other guys that are playing and they live in Scottsdale.
My brother, for the longest time, he could never figure out why the Florida Panthers weren't a dynasty every year. If you're kind of getting around the free agent time and, like, not just the tax, my wife went to work this morning. I looked outside, it looks so cold. On Lake Ontario, I was just, I lived in Florida for 2 years when I retired. I'm like, I wish I was back there. Sandals every day, green.
Yeah, I mean.
Golf, tee it up.
L.A.
Bugs.
70, stop with the bugs. 75.
Imagine if we lived in Florida, you and I could tee it up every day before we came in here.
That's right. Now, I like, you know, I like a change of pace. I'm a Four Seasons kind of guy.
I am not.
But it's this extreme weather.
Yeah.
When you know that there are other options out there. Like, just even coming home off a trip.
Right.
Like, if you do a Florida trip and you play in Tampa, you play in Florida, and then you land and it's minus 20, and you're like, oh, my, it is so cold here
but
right
that's,
now. It,
I'm Kawhi. Don't have a winter coat. Like, I don't want to have a winter coat.
But that's, I'm not lying, though.
Look up.
And here's the, like, Bobby Margarita. He's in Florida right now, enjoying himself.
He's on a bye week. Look at old Bobby Margarita. He looks like
he is ready to mail it in.
He looks like he's ready to mingle.
Yeah, he does. Like, he's got a sweater on.
He is in good shape.
But what I meant by that is there's certain cities. I'm from Edmonton. Every time, you remember when the rink was where it was? You land at the airport 30 minutes outside of Edmonton in minus 30. You go in down through downtown, which is aesthetically can be a little bit gritty.
Right.
And then listen,
Jamie, I got to tell you, the first time I ever landed in Edmonton, the guy, the pilot, he goes, guys, it's too cold to get your luggage. You go right to the bus. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
But that's
I'm saying. Cold is it here? He goes, it's too dangerous. You can't be outside. I'm like,
but that's what I'm saying. So let's just say you have a choice, and you're not from North America, so you're a guy that's from Finland or whatever, and I know it's cold in Finland and the light and all that, but you land in this city, and you have this long bus ride to downtown. You're looking out the window. It's minus 30. Aesthetically, you're driving through the roughest area to get to the rink because that's all you know, and the hotel's there. You go play, and then you leave. And then you go, why the hell would I want to sign with that team? Why, you know, why would I get get traded there? Like, unless the team was really good and all that. But that's why I say Winnipeg, Edmonton, some of these cities have to pay either the cold weather tax or, you know, Carolina probably has. I know you can golf and all that because of the weather, but sometimes being in the middle of nowhere, it's not attractive to people, right? Like, you know.
Well,
like,
every player has an individual
opinion.
Opinion, image, impression of where he wants to go with his career. Where
what we need to get is some kind of graph with the no trades. And where is it?
Now, a lot of that, again, is based on just the surface area view and opinion and stereotyping, right? Because you talk to a lot of players that play in different markets, and it's not just a Canadian thing. There's a bunch of American markets.
Buffalo,
Detroit, Minnesota. There's a ton of them. Chicago's just as cold as anywhere else in Canada. It's freezing there.
Yeah.
But it's once if you're there, you're like, right. I love it. You know, yeah. A lot of times I love the people here. I love the my profile is huge. You're right. A big, big-time celebrity.
Calgary's a great place to play, too. But you know what? I've heard from agents or different people in the game, they don't like the fact that the building's not one of the...
well, state-of-the-art. Like,
right.
It's,
like, it's not a new building, so it's like, that's on my no trade.
But the other thing, too, like, I grew up in St. Albert, Alberta. It's still ranked one of the best cities in Canada for that census to live, as far as the check marks or whatever. But you don't play hockey in July there when it's not minus 30 out and when there are great golf courses and all sorts of things there. It's what you see. And that's why I think it was in The Athletic or a couple months ago, it was like Winnipeg is voted like the worst city to go to as an opposing player.
Because right. There was no Wi-Fi.
There was no Wi-Fi in the hotel. There, whatever. Yeah. Whatever guys were
chirping.
No,
but that's legitimate. Like if.
But that's why you, like, certain cities are known. Now, Toronto, being an outsider, playing against the Leafs, I knew it was a circus. When you came to Toronto, you could see all the reps for all the gear because my pads were made here, you know, Vaughn and all of that. And all the reps were here. All the media was here.
All the agents.
Agents,
in town.
Like it is the circus. And some players thrive in it. Some people like it and go. And other players are like, I wouldn't want to play in that every day. Well, like not everyone's wired to play in a market.
And
like
that
this.
Goes both ways
both
as
ways.
Well. Because like now, this is not a hockey playing experience for me. But I remember, now I was not Mr. Scholastic. I didn't have a ton of options.
Right.
It's not like Harvard was calling me, asking me to come down. But I had the opportunity to go to school in Montreal. And I remember having the wisdom at that age.
Hang on a second here. Montreal was like recruiting you?
No, or? There's multiple universities. You apply and you get in. And I remember having the self-awareness at 19. You're like, I don't think I can live in Montreal at 19. Because I don't think I'm going to go to school.
Yeah,
now, it turns out I didn't really go to school where I went to school.
What I don't understand,
but the
is,
point the point I'm trying to make is, I could see them people being like, I can't live in Florida and be a hockey player. Like right. I'm just going to want to golf and go to the pool, and I'm not going to be able to be a professional.
Right.
Like even that is a mentality you have to have. Like you're there to work,
right?
Not
yeah,
to
not
sit in the sun. Like yeah, you got to work.
But what I want to know, going back to your college, when you say you never went to school, what are we talking about? Are we talking
you ran a casino all night?
No, I know.
Sleep
but
all
did
day.
You go like Monday and said, "No way Tuesday, no way Wednesday"? Like how?
Well,
was the...
usually the night before determined what I was doing the next day.
Well, I mean, would you guys go out every night?
That's college.
A lot of times.
People in college, all they do is drink or smoke weed.
And even if you're sitting around at home, exactly, you're playing Madden until 6 a.m.
Right.
It's goofy, but and
like if I was your parents that paid for that and you failed out or didn't get
no, I didn't fail out. I got through it all, but it's
and
not
he's successful now too.
Listen, there's a science to it. It depends on what you're taking.
Right.
Right. Like if you're taking courses where you've got to be there to pick up on all the details, a lot of courses early in your now as you get older and you get into years 3 and 4, you got to be there and you got to perform or whatever. But first year you'd have like
arts.
Yeah, basically it'd be like you have 2 exams and one essay,
yeah.
And that's going to be your whole grade.
Yeah,
you know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm not here.
But I agree.
The point
with
I'm
you
trying
is
to make
the focus.
Is, that's
of
what
the
I'm
city.
Saying. I'm like, if I go to Montreal, I'm in the middle. Like it's Montreal.
You're not sitting here today.
Yeah, I don't know where I am today.
You're a bouncer at the Chez Paris. Or you're the general man. Like you're. Yeah. I don't know what you're doing at the Chez, but you're.
You've gone
I'm
on
there.
The sauce.
Yeah.
You've actually juiced up, and you're 285.
That's right.
You're in charge of beverage or the beverage control at Chez Paris right now if you went to Montreal.
Yeah. But you could get a little side action on bets, too. Like he would have an
and
eye for
other
an eye.
Side action.
No. Just the bets.
There would be a lot of side action. And you
so
know
they'd be like,
exactly.
But he would have a name like just
I
B.
Mean.
Go see B at the
yeah.
door. B.
Where's B?
Yeah,
he's been working here for 15 years.
Yeah. Go see B if you want anything.
Yeah. I'm the only guy in Peeler history that's like, I got to get out of here. This is killing me. I've been working here for 15 years. I came here to go to school.
Yeah.
But now I'm beverage control at the Chez Paris.
Yeah. I just, anyway, the point I'm trying to make is.
I agree.
Because being a hockey player, like, or any athlete, any sport, you're there to play and perform. And if there's Hey, I can go to the patio right after practice, or I can go get in, you know, sneak in 18 before the game. Or,
I understand what you're saying.
Man, that can be tough.
When I went to the rink in my flip-flops and shorts in Carolina, and you did in Florida, it's not like I thought, I got to be freezing cold for hockey.
I signed a 3-year deal in Florida. I grew my hair long, all one length. I bought a 1975 Cadillac Eldorado with a rumble seat in the trunk. Two-door, SS noodles. I had it customized. I drove that to the rink every day. Like, it was a way of life. But I was 35 years old. I was a pro. I couldn't imagine being 19 knowing that's all I knew.
But aren't you glad you got to experience the hockey market?
Yes.
Because I remember Brendan Shanahan, he went to Detroit. He left Hartford, went to Detroit, and I was in Carolina. And he said, you got to experience it once in your career.
Yeah, no.
Like the hockey market and feel the vibe of the city.
I'm
glad I got to experience that.
I had come from Calgary, which was a Canadian market. We had a good team. And, you know, Florida was kind of, they signed some old guys to work with the young guys, guys like Bo Meester and Greg Campbell and Stephen Weiss and Nathan Horton. Like, those guys were all like 18, 19, 20.
Yeah, you guys were awful.
Yeah, we were like good and bad, if that made sense. We had a goaltender that Roberto had 29 shots in a period one time, and he came in. 29 shots. Carolina, I think, had it. And he came in, and he was Denny Lemieux laying in his stall. And I went nuts. I'm like, are you guys kidding me? Like, 29 shots in a period they gave up.
That's as bad
and
as
And Louis's
gets.
Like, guys, come on, let's dig in. Like, he was like, come on, let's dig in. I'm like, dig in? Like, how about let's turn a wheel? The guy's going to have a heart attack.
But that's, you know, that's the lesson here is it doesn't matter the climate. It doesn't matter the market. Ultimately, if your front office is incompetent, it's not going to work for you.
Yeah.
And if you have a front office that knows what they're doing and drafts properly, like Tampa is a great example. Tampa's got the climate and all that.
Yep.
It's not a big city. It's I guess you're fighting with the Buccaneers. You're not fighting with the Rays. I would think the Lightning are probably the number two team in town.
Sure.
But
the one thing that
they draft properly and they sign properly and goes a long way.
As far as free agents go, Florida, they could have put their rink in Fort Lauderdale somewhere.
Yeah. That.
Or down in Miami, you mean?
Not even. Fort Lauderdale. That's a great place to live.
On that coast. You could have gotten like close to where
like
the population is.
Sawgrass Mills or whatever that mall is called. It's not.
Yeah. No, it's terrible. Their crowds are brutal.
It's a bad setup
They're terrible.
Just, unfortunately, because...
It's not a good sports town anyway. Like, Miami's not...
But I would, to your point, I would take it. It's a major hub. Like, when the Panthers first went there and played out in Miami, they were getting walk-up crowd. And now the team made the finals.
They were
doing
it. They made the cup final.
But they were still getting the casual fan. Oh, hey, there's a hockey game around the corner. You have to make a serious effort to go out to Sunrise to watch a hockey game. So if it's not an Original Six team or it's not your team, and say you play three games in a week, three home games, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, you're not going to all three. It's the same thing in Arizona. Arizona's rink is way the hell out there.
Yeah.
They got to move the rink to...
Well, and there's another example, like perfect weather in Arizona. They've been awful forever.
Yeah.
You know,
haven't
like
they had four different rinks and they can never figure out to put it
well,
in the
rink? They it's too far out. They got to go back to that where it was. I think it was used to be called the America West, and the Phoenix Suns played out of it. And it was like
it was an awful building.
It was
but
terrible setup.
What will be interesting here is the California teams, who all three of them are bad teams right now.
Yeah.
They're up against the cap, so I don't know how much maneuvering they can get. But for the longest time, like, they had the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
You had the climate. You had the crowds because they all sold out for the most part, and you had competent ownership, management, quality teams. So it was obvious. Of course, people were like, I wouldn't mind going there because I can hit on all of them.
Right.
Are they going to trend closer to Florida and Arizona now where it's like, yeah, I get it. L.A.'s cool, but they're brutal. I'm not going there. Or will they be able to bounce back? And will they be able to turn things around? And
well,
I don't know because they've had such a great run.
Right, and
that you wouldn't know any better.
There's going to have to be a reset there for sure. But, like, I would argue the Kings would be fine because that's such a big market. And, like, people will go there for the atmosphere. They go there for the entertainment value. Plus, we forget, like, other teams, like, have fan bases that will go watch you in L.A. Like, L.A. is a trip where you circle.
Yeah, it's like New York.
Go out, it's like Vegas. Like, all you can go out to L.A. and catch a team, your team, for pennies on the dollar. That's why the only reason why the Panthers do all right certain nights is Montreal, Toronto.
Every Northeast place.
Original
New York.
Six,
they all
New
live
York,
down there.
Philly, all of that, Chicago. Like, they draw because people are going. And it's unfortunate because Florida's a really good team. Like, the Panthers this year are a really good team.
Yep.
And, like, that's one team that concerns me as far as standings for the Leafs because, like, and Bob Bobrovsky hasn't even gotten going yet.
No.
If he starts making some saves like he's capable.
And you would think that he's going to start. Like
I think he's going to.
You can't play that bad for a whole year. No way.
And Driedger got hurt the other day. Darren Driedger is hurt now. So Bobrovsky's their guy, which he's going to be.
He should be anyway.
No, I know. But I'm just saying, like, you had to make that signing. That team, and I love Roberto, but Roberto was 39. That team didn't get the goaltending that they needed. They needed to tell everyone, we're going to go get the best coach available. That's Q. We're going to get the best goaltender available because we think we've got people in place. They haven't even pointed out that, like, a guy like Achari.
Yeah,
Achari's got 17 goals.
Yeah,
16, 17
great
goals.
Great signing. It's worked out well.
Connolly, like, they
but Bobrovsky's an example there that it's way too early, and we'll never know because we're not on the inside. But did he sign in Florida because he thought they were ready to take off or because I'm getting a payday and I'm living in Florida now?
Maybe a little bit of both.
Maybe a little bit of both. But if you're the Panthers, you better hope it's not a bit of both. Because if it is...
He's going to be one of the biggest X factors in the playoff picture. Like, he has to turn into Bob again.
Bob from last year that beat Tampa.
And they're going to go on a run, so that could...
If you're Toronto, you've got to hope it doesn't happen.
Exactly.
Because now they've leapfrogged the Leafs. They got games in hand.
We might do that on Friday. Playoff X Factors, top 10 list in the East.
I like that in terms of the teams, even in the West, like who are not guaranteed to get in. Like, how many teams in the league right now... You know Washington's getting in. You know Boston's getting in.
There's going to be some X Factors that are like... Just sewer like, jobs where they're just going to lose everything.
Here's a crazy one. Pittsburgh just keeps winning.
Pittsburgh, is getting in.
Now, Sid's back.
They're getting in.
Yeah. They're getting back. They're
and
getting
then St.
in.
St. Louis. That's it. That's the only guarantee. Like, I think Colorado's getting in. I'm fairly certain
in.
Tampa's getting in, clearly. But that means you're talking Florida, the Islanders, Columbus, Carolina, Philly, Toronto, Dallas, Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary, Vegas, Arizona, Winnipeg, Chicago's played themselves back into it. We're talking 10 or 12 teams that are looking at the final 30 to 35 games saying...
That's their season
let's go.
Yeah.
And one of them is going to go on a heater and be like, we're in with 10 games to go.
Right.
And
one negative heater is done.
One of them will go on a cooler the next 10 games and be like, our season's done.
Done, yeah. That's crazy.
We went 2-8 and we're done.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you're right. Like that.
Like Leafs come back from their bye week All Star game, and they go on a cooler to start. That's
You'd be doing
what's concerned.
What Montreal did. Like Montreal had two runs where they lost in eight straight games.
Yeah.
The Leafs had a brutal run earlier in the year, and if they do that again, if they lose like at Nashville, at Dallas, you're talking about the same thing.
What do they come back with their schedule? They start in Nashville on the Monday, correct?
Yes.
After
and then
St. Louis.
I think Wednesday at Dallas.
That'll test some maturity, too. First game back at Nashville.
Well, they're not going to gain maturity on a bye week.
Okay, but you know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about, but this idea that they're going to morph
because whenever I had a little break, I used to throw in one last little hurrah.
Well, okay, but we
like
we'll have some fun with that.
I would say I'm going to be in Nashville a day early. It won't be the night before the game, but the day.
Saturday night. Yeah, I'll meet you down there. A little group text. See who's available
Who's sniffing around.
Who wants to arrive early? I'll meet you at Tootsie's at 9 p.m.
Just
Saturday night.
Just go. Just get in the mix.
11 a.m.
That's at Legends. You go down to Legends at 11.
Right.
Then you work your way over to Tootsie's, third level.
Tootsie's is too much. Tootsie's is, it's a tourist trap in there. There's too many people.
We didn't play like back in the old days, but every time I played in Nashville, we'd go, like just walk over after practice and there'd be just a guy playing a guitar and you would,
it's
not like we were going bonkers, but it would just be so easy to fall in the trap where you're like,
yeah.
Actually, we've been having beers all afternoon.
That's the thing. You don't even know it. All of a sudden, it's 7 o'clock.
All of a sudden, the guy's playing the guitar, and you're like, I've been here since 11:30 a.m., and it's 1 a.m., and you've had 14 Coors Lights.
I've had it. Yeah. They just keep bringing buckets of beer. There's six in them. Six Corona. Six nice ice-cold Corona. Bring them over. Nachos, then... At one point, I asked them, they warmed up in the microwave some, like, frozen pizza. That's how nice we became with the bartenders and friends, because we'd spent so much time there, north of 12 hours.
Yeah.
I kind of enjoy that. Nashville's one of the best cities on the circuit.
Yeah. You forget when your buddies show up.
Allegedly. Allegedly. I've heard of stories like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've heard of stories like that. I've the next day. Too. When'd you fly in?
I saw you last night.
Dude,
you
I sat
donkey.
Beside you all night.
Phil, we were there. You got to see this band, Crucial Tot. They were playing at the Gasworks last night.
Phil, we were there. Have you gone mental?
That was one of your buddies. What's the story? He looked at the guy and said, when did you get here? And he said, I don't know. What is that story?
One my understanding is...
it's one of my favorite...
Secondhand knowledge.
Yes.
Just give me the
goods.
The boys flew in on the early flight Friday morning, and they hit the gas pedal upon landing.
Yes.
And
the next day,
this other guy flew in a little bit later in the afternoon and joined the group. And then the next day, they were at the bar, and the late arriving guy was already there. And the guy who had been there earlier walks in and
like, when'd you get here?
Great to see you, man. When'd you fly in? He goes, last night. I was literally with you the whole night.
That means the guy that didn't recognize the other guy, he put on a clinic and floored it.
He was not clinically conscious, I don't believe.
It was Bernie Lomax.
He was Bernie. That's he was Phil best. From Wayne's World.
That's the best. When'd you get here? I was with you all night.
Literally, we put in a six-hour shift on the strip last night.
I kind of love that. It's so good.
Secondhand knowledge. I might be missing some details.
Allegedly.
That's one of my faves.
We'll look back on the NFL weekend next. So I was saying out of the gate at 4 that today is Black Monday. It's supposed to be the most depressing day of the year. Because of where it is in the calendar, you're far enough from the holidays. Now you got to pay your bills for the holidays coming up towards the end of the month. Weather's cold. It's dark outside.
Yeah,
you know you probably used up a lot of your vacation, so you got a ways before you get back on the vacation train. So that is like scientifically proven. Then you throw in, from my perspective, I fly across the continent to see my team get destroyed.
Yes, it went.
Hey, dude, it was a 5-hour flight. You're acting like you were.
Well, it's as long as you can go, basically, like from
coast to coast.
All day.
Okay. That's fine. I'm not complaining about the flights. I'm just saying that's a fact that happened. Lose a futures bet that I'd been riding for almost a year. Lose a bet to you and Al's brother. The Leafs get smoked. Now they're outside of the playoffs. The NHL determines that Game 7, Leafs-Bruins in 2013, was worthy of being labeled the game of the decade, which is ludicrous because it's
Was it actually the game or one of the top 10
games?
No,
it was voted the game of the decade.
The game of the decade. Comeback of the decade without question.
Well, but does that mean you have to agree with that.
Oh, I wouldn't deny that. Maybe the story of the decade, but I think of a great game. It's got to be a 7-6 back and forth overtime. You know, there's got to be something else that sticks out as a better game than that.
Yeah,
but,
I don't know.
Why not troll Maple Leaf fans on Black Monday?
What about that game San Jose-Vegas last year?
Right, that was wild.
That had to have been
a bad call. That was a missed call.
Yeah.
But it was still 4-0, wasn't it, or something?
What about Carolina beating Washington in double overtime? It was Brock McGinn's goal that he batted out of the air. Like, that was a really good hockey game. Washington deserved to win that, and Carolina just hung around, chipped away.
That crazy Game 7, Blackhawks-Kings back in, like, 2013, how wild that game was?
Yeah.
That was in Los Angeles, I think.
I don't remember if it was in Chicago or L.A. Yeah. I think it might have been Chicago.
I thought it was in Chicago, but either way,
that series was
unreal.
Amazing. Yeah. That was some of the best hockey working here that I've watched. Yeah. It was that good.
Oh, it's called Blue Monday, not Black Monday.
Yeah, sorry, Blue Monday.
Blue Monday. Sorry,
I take
that.
A different approach to it. I'm not going to lie to you. I know people have struggles, difficulties. I'm like, let's get through this. Spring's around the corner. March break's around the corner. And then off for the summer.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, you would look at it that way, but everyone else that has your standard operation, I don't know. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean you have to be down. You don't have to be blue on Blue Monday. You can be feeling great about yourself. I don't know. If you're a Niner fan today, you probably are.
Yeah, I think there's some fans that are fired up.
Right. And we were wondering, is there anything else that could happen? Now, TFC is not necessarily in our wheelhouse all the time, but news came out today that Michael Bradley has had ankle surgery and he's going to miss the first 3 or 4 months of the season.
And Altidore just started teeing off.
He was not happy with the organization.
No, he wasn't.
Those kind of comments are like, do you want to get out of here? Because that's like even Glenn Schiller, who's a guy's guy. He was like, I've never seen a guy tee off on a team like this.
Yeah, it was quite.
You want to hear
unique.
It quickly?
Yeah, I want to hear it. Yeah.
All right.
Absolutely.
This is Jozy Altidore earlier today talking about Bradley's, I guess, missed diagnosis and why it took so long for him to have surgery and the reality that TFC is now dealing with.
In my opinion, he was let down. A guy that, like I said, works incredibly hard to pick up everybody on the team. You know, he worked, does his job plus 100 others. And, you know, for this to happen, I'm extremely gutted for him. I'm extremely disappointed in how it was handled. And I think for a guy like that with how much he gives, the handling of that situation was extremely poor, in my opinion.
Okay, but how much is on him? Like, wouldn't he have said, I got to do this or I got to do that? It's not feeling right.
Well, I wonder.
It's only so much. The doctors can't run you into the hospital.
The cynic in me wonders, why didn't this come up before the contract negotiation? Like, interesting that the deal gets done, and then we start figuring out what's going on with the ankle. But I don't know. I don't know what the diagnosis was originally. I don't know. You know, Altidore's dealt with his own injury past.
I get right? it. And he's frustrated, like but there's got to be some element where Michael Bradley's like...
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's your own body.
No
and in the era of second opinions, you would think he'd be like, all right, I'm taking this outside of the organization if I have to. That's what athletes do all the time.
Mm-hmm.
He makes millions and millions of dollars. He can fly to New York or fly
Johnny's
to L.A.
Neighbor.
Or ask Johnny if he needs to.
Exactly.
Anyway, so I was at Levi's Stadium yesterday. Beautiful stadium. Crowd was jacked, as you would expect. But Packers didn't show up.
No.
Packers did not show up. And people were jacked up down in San Francisco. And we've got a guy on the line here from 95.7 The Game in San Fran. Bonte Hill joins us now. You guys still partying out there in the Bay Area or what?
You know what? We're starting to turn the page to the Kansas City Chiefs slowly but surely, which means we're going to have a lot of nightmares over the next 2 weeks thinking about how to slow down Patrick Mahomes and Tyreek Hill or Kelsey and Andy Reid. But for a night or two, we would definitely enjoy shredding the cheese, that's for sure.
Yeah, that was quite the performance by the Niners. I mean, they dominated. It wasn't even close.
Did you not find the celebrations for both of the teams to be, like, really big? It wasn't just, like, put the trophy aside, we want the big one. I thought they were, like...
You're talking about Kansas City and the Niners?
Both. Right. It was, like, they really were into it, where they should be, but...
You still got one more to win, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
No doubt. Well, you get one team that has not been to the Super Bowl in 50 years, and then you get this team that won, the 49ers, that is, that won 4 games last year. So, you know, a young team winning at home, winning in a fashion that they did, kind of shutting up the naysayers. I think, you know what, celebrate a little bit, put the trophy away. But I think for a night, there's nothing wrong with that, man, because the NFL is just brutal. I mean, it's a war of attrition out there.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about all the injuries, and especially for both the teams, Kansas City and San Francisco, I'll just talk about the Niners. I mean, the gauntlet they went through over the last 8 games, playing the Ravens, playing the Packers, playing the Seahawks twice, playing the New Orleans Saints and beating them in the Superdome. Man, it has been a gauntlet for the 49ers. So I'm not mad at the celebrations last night because this team has been so buttoned up this season, and I already know they'll put the NFC championship behind them by tomorrow morning.
Well, that's what I was most impressed by watching that game live, that, you know, they've got some big boys that just fully committed to an old-school grind-it-out style that had been working for them and worked for them last week against Minnesota. If you look at a guy like George Kittle, who's a legitimate all-pro stud, and he could be on the sideline saying, dude, I'm not blocking again. You know what I mean? Like, hook me
right
up. And he
right
blocked beautiful, like all night he factored in. He was exceptional. He caught one pass. Now, he closed the game out. The game was over anyway. But when he picked up that first down late in the fourth, that was it. And, you know, Garoppolo's a guy, he's getting paid a lot of money, premium position. throws the ball 8 times. Like, I'm impressed. I guess, is that Shanahan? Is that on the players? Because that is a full-blown commitment to winning, and winning in a way that you don't see very often in 2020.
Yeah, no, you know what? I mean, it is a true team down here in San Francisco. These guys just are committed to the system. You think about Emmanuel Sanders. He's the number one receiver in Denver. He comes out to San Francisco. He had one target yesterday and was cool with it. You heard the soundbite last week from George Kittle telling, yelling at Shanahan, run it, run it, keep running it. I mean, it is unbelievable how selfless these players are on the 49ers, and it's one of the more likable teams we've seen in 49ers history. I mean, George Kittle's had 4 catches for 35 yards in his playoff run. Garoppolo threw the ball 8 times. That's the fewest attempts in a playoff game since Bob Greasy did it in the freaking Super Bowl back in the mid-70s. I wasn't even born yet then. I mean, the guy threw – it was really throwback football yesterday. And throughout these playoffs, think about these numbers, fellas. 89 rushes over the last 2 games against Minnesota and Green Bay. 89 rushes, 471 rushing yards. And the great thing is, they haven't shown anything to Kansas City when it comes to the passing game. So, I mean, it's just – it's a testament to what Shanahan has sold to this team. It's a testament to the players that's bought into the system. And it's really throwback football. I was talking to Kirk Morrison, longtime linebacker of the Oakland Raiders. And we're going down the escalator yesterday at Levi's Stadium. And he goes, I thought I just watched Army or Navy or something. This is incredible. And really, you look at the running game, it's really been with two different styles of runs. You look at Minnesota, it was power football. Right up the gut, we're going 5 yards a pop. We're going to ram it down your throats. In Green Bay yesterday, it was more on the edges and kind of deceptive running plays where you see fake reverses to Deebo Samuel, and he ends up being the lead blocker. So, I mean, it is incredible what they way they're winning it. And Jimmy Garoppolo doesn't care. George Kittle doesn't care. There's no divas on this football team.
We have Bonte Hill from 95.7 The Game down in San Francisco. The Niners winning big yesterday. They're off to the Super Bowl, taking on Kansas City. There were 3 jerseys that I saw all over the city. And all over the stadium. Outside of the old school throwbacks, you'd see a Montana occasionally, yeah, Young, you'd see a Rice. But it was all Garoppolo, Kittle, Bosa. Like, those were the three.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not surprised by that based on their profiles, the positions they play. But, man, those three own that town, or it feels that way. I mean, maybe it's recency bias. Maybe it's just because that was the game I was at. But is that just a reality? Like, those three, probably, yeah. Shanahan, probably Lynch. They're getting all, yeah, the love down there, or what?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, so I don't know if you noticed the hat that Shanahan wears on the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those hats have been sold out. You see every fan now with those Shanahan type of hats with the small logo, either in black or red. And then you look at number 85. No disrespect to Vernon Davis. There was a lot of Vernon Davis jerseys before. George Kittle's taking over this town. He's an absolute rock star. They love him. He's likable. The personality, the wrestling aspect of it, the crossover appeal. Jimmy Garoppolo, the ladies love him. They love his looks. I mean, the guy could go to Santana Road down to San Jose and pick up 5. I wouldn't put my have my girlfriend stand around Jimmy Garoppolo. No. Little snatcher. I mean, they love him. Number 10 jerseys. And then Bosa. I mean, the guy's a generational talent, and we really didn't know what we were getting. So a couple people I talked to from Ohio State, they were saying this guy's the best prospect coming out of Ohio State since Orlando Pace. I thought the guys were smoking big-time marijuana. I mean, no joke. I thought they were out of their minds thinking about the lineage of players that have come out of Ohio State. Nick Bosa looks like a 7-year pro. I mean, the guy's just a beast. So you're right, man. The jerseys, it's number 97, it's 85, and it's number 10. But you also got some 25 jerseys with Richard Sherman. Niner fans can't get enough of Uncle Sherm,
right,
we're calling him down here in the Bay Area. those 4 players alone, and now you got Mostert. You're right, man. The three heavyweights here are Kittle, Bosa, and Garoppolo. Bosa got a chance last week when he had the wind knocked out of him. The fans just react differently when Kittle and Bosa make plays. It is unreal.
Imagine Jimmy Gorgeous if he takes down Patrick Mahomes and wins the Super Bowl.
I like that. Jimmy Gorgeous. That's a new one.
Yeah, dude.
He will be...
His bar play will be off
Hollywood.
The charts.
Yeah, we do a thing on our show called Bar Play where it's the popularity and what kind of different things you can do at bars and stuff. If he if he pulls this off, I can't even imagine.
I mean, hey, this guy can walk into any bar, any club right now with his shirt off and get free access. He doesn't need any IDs. He doesn't need to pay for a meal. Doesn't need to pay for a drink. Now, if he wins a Super Bowl as the quarterback of the San Francisco 49ers, he will be immortalized.
Yeah,
he will automatically be catapulted to the Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks here in San Francisco. I mean, the guy is, it's right there for him to take. And guess what? The pressure, you know, I know there's going to be pressure in the Super Bowl. Players are going to be nervous and all that. But everybody's going to be talking about Mahomes. Everybody's going to talk about Andy Reid. They're going to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs with his high-flying offense. Well, Jimmy Garoppolo will be happy to hand the ball off 47 times in a game, and he still will be immortalized if he wins a Super Bowl out here in the Bay Area. People will love him. He will be slander-free. And nationally, they could say, oh, he's a game manager. Shanahan doesn't trust him. Trust me. Down here, people know what's happening. The Niners win in different ways, whether it's running the football or passing the football. And they know what they have in Jimmy Garoppolo in his first full season as quarterback of the 49ers. I mean, he wins a Super Bowl.
He can retire.
He can retire. No joke, he can retire, live in Silicon Valley, work at Google, work for Facebook, and just go on to live his life while waking up with, you know, who knows what he's doing on a daily basis, man, as a bachelor in the Bay Area. Think about that. Jimmy Garoppolo, Super Bowl champ, bachelor in the Bay Area. Man, life will be good for him. I'm jealous right now.
No kidding, man. We got 2 weeks to figure out if that's going to happen. You can hear him on 95.7 The Game down in San Francisco. Enjoy the next 2 weeks. Enjoy the game. Really appreciate you doing this, Bonte. Thank you.
You know what? I'm sorry you had to take a right eye and come down and watch that ass whooping yesterday. I really felt bad because I know a lot of Packer fans.
Yeah.
But it was almost as if Packer fans knew what was coming, because for the first time in my life, I've been going to Niner Green Bay games forever. The amount of cheeseheads that was in the stadium, I was stunned with the lack of cheeseheads inside of that stadium yesterday.
I
could not believe it. And the body language of Aaron Rodgers, I thought the game was over later in the first quarter, man. I really did.
It ended when they punted on 4th and 1 on the 50. That they had to go for it there. That was a game. That was the game.
No doubt.
And the Niners shredded them after that. They went up 7-0. Yep. They went 3 and out again after that. I mean, I could go on and on and on. But you're right. I mean, the Packers travel. They're a top 5 traveling team in the NFL, and they were there. But it was like maybe 5% of the building, maybe.
Yeah.
And I thought they'd be 20% at least.
Yeah, I was stunned, man. Again, going to games since the 90s, man. I was stunned that there was not a lot of green, especially November 24th when it came down to Levi's. There was nothing but Packer fans in the stadium. It was about 30% Packer fans inside of Levi's Stadium. So a testament to the 49er fans for not selling their tickets to people from Wisconsin or Green Bay Packer fans. So a great year for the Green Bay Packers. You got to be happy with where they're going. Add some weapons for Aaron Rodgers alongside Devontae Adams. But the Niners were just a mismatch for them, man. The physicality in the trenches, man, on both sides of the football, it's just too much for the Pack. So,
I can't argue that.
Yeah, good luck next season, and hopefully the Niners can make us happy down here in the Bay Area. But, man, I'm telling you, I already woke up with nightmares of Patrick Mahomes. I'm nervous as hell about the Super Bowl.
Good luck, buddy. Thank you for doing this.
Anytime, fellas.
There he is, Bonte Hill from the 95.7 The Game down in San Francisco. Yeah, there were Packer fans, but it was not overwhelming. It was like 95% Niner fans, and it's a depressing sight when you're watching some guy walk up the stairs down 27-0 and he's got a cheese head on his head.
And why would you just take it off and throw it?
Because I guess at that point you're committed. You've flown in from Wisconsin or wherever you've flown in from, and you're like, I'm wearing this thing for 4 quarters regardless of what the score
line
is.
And nobody was beaking him?
No,
I'm pretty sure somebody would have said, you look like an idiot. Look at the scoreboard.
It was a sympathy thing. Like, it was honestly, it was like, hey, you know, thanks for, I told you, I was talking to guys before the game as if the game had already ended. Like, Niner fans were like, we're winning and it's not going to be close.
Right.
And then it's 27-0 at the half, and you're like, yeah, you're right. Like, it's a total mismatch. The Packers had no right to be on the same field as the Niners. Like, they got crushed. There's no other explanation.
Were you disappointed in Rodgers?
Yeah, I thought he underperformed. I thought he looked jittery, looked nervous in the first half. I hate how they opened up the playbook in the second half, started throwing the ball deep down the field. Like, where was that in the first half?
What Aaron Rodgers does.
Yeah, open it up, send them deep, and go.
Yeah.
And that was on Matt LaFleur. They got out-coached in the trenches, on the edges, quarterback, every position. It was top to bottom. They got demolished. How much you can do about it?
Old Richard Sherman got his words in.
He's going back to this. You want to hear someone for the next 2 weeks? He will be in front of a mic for two weeks straight. And as much as You can call him out for certain things. He's still playing, and he's going back to a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So we got 2 weeks to start teeing that up. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, we have the 10th and final chance to win a spot on TSN 1050 Spring Superfan Spring Break, an ultimate hockey vacation from bookseats.com. Join Toronto as they take on Tampa and Florida down in the Sunshine State, including round-trip flights, four nights accommodations, and tickets to the game. To enter, follow us on Instagram at TSN1050 and at bookseats.com. Follow both on Instagram and go to TSN1050.ca for all the details. Bookseats.com, custom flight, hotel, and ticket packages to events around the world, simplifying the way fans travel. And that's how I book my trip to San Fran, through the boys at bookseats.com. Easy to navigate. I was on there this morning checking out the Super Bowl packages.
How's it look?
They're available. Flights, tickets, hotels. Right there for you, bookseats.com.
That's an in and out. Just go down to Miami, have a couple pints at the airport, head down there, go to the game and back.
Yeah.
I wonder if they could work that out.
I think they probably could. You never know. I mean, if you're looking to go, that's the place to check it out. It's always available to you. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the NBA board tonight, I am on Denver getting plus points in Minnesota, San Antonio getting plus points in Phoenix, and Indiana getting plus points in Utah. Throw down 20, you can score 100. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. So I don't know if this was my A game today. Probably far from it.
I thought you were good. Really sharp considering the circumstances.
I thought it was your best show of the year.
And
2020,
how frustrated you were, too. Like, you know, that's a tough... Like, your team lost, the Leafs have had a little bump in the road here. Like, you know, you could have come in here spitting fire, but you were...
I was angry in the 4 p.m. hour.
You were level-headed.
Yeah, I think I finally got to that point.
It's
Blue Monday today, and...
Yes.
Yeah, what are you going to do, you know?
It's all good.
Leafs will get it together.
Tomorrow is Positive Tuesday. I'm going to bring you in some of those desserts you like. From Best Portuguese Chicken.
Oh, the little custard, custard cakes or whatever.
That will cheer you up and everything will be better.
Yeah, I support that.
Yeah, we do need
a feed. Great call.
Bring in a feed.
I would add some Timbits today, but I just...
Well, there was a guy that just did some work.
Well, we were trying to do the math. Somebody had 12 of them and everyone else got one. And...
Are we going to let him defend himself?
Wow.
Al's brother, how many Timbits? Be honest, quickly.
Because Grappler said with a full mouth, he only had two. Your number's what?
Four. Tops. Oh, no, no. Five.
Okay.
Tops.
We need an
investigation here.
Full investigation. The answer tomorrow at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
Scarborough Nissan is one of the largest volume Nissan dealers in the GTA. Happy New Year from everyone at Scarborough Nissan. Safety first. Please remember, don't drink and drive. The Winter Warrior Sales event is on now. Take advantage of lease and finance rates as low as 0% APR on select models OAC or up to $6,000 standard rate finance cash on select models. Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. Visit them on Eglinton Avenue East at Warden Avenue. Visit ScarboroughNissan.com. You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast Hour 3. Powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. It's Nissan's Winter Warrior event. Lease or finance from 0% or get up to $6,000 in standard rate finance cash on select models. Scarborough Nissan. Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.